Brother Miller asked me to do a song tonight, and the only one come to my mind was this one. Love is why. If y'all ever just think about, try to understand the love that God has for us and had for us in giving his son, I still can't understand it. The more I try to thank him about it and praise him, the less I really understand it, that he would give his son for sinful man like us. If y'all know this, y'all can help me sing it. I hadn't sung it in a pretty good while. Love is why. He never said I'd have silver or gold, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered a life without care, yet he relieves every burden I bear. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why he redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. I was astray, full of sin with its shame. There was no peace within. I was to blame, though undeserving, my life so defiled. Now to my God I have been reconciled. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why he redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. Though I have none of this world's precious goods, yet I'm an heir to
appreciate the good song. I appreciate Brother Ronnie as our song leader here at church. He does an excellent job, and I know the Lord helps him. And and I'm thankful for his work in that way. Glad to have Brother Wright here tonight to bring the message. Have a great love for Brother Inslee. Thankful that the Lord has watched over him here recently, brought him through some things. Thankful for the doctors that were there for the Lord to use in that way. And I'm thankful for those that God has gifted with those talents. But we know that even as we're told in the Bible, that truly the Lord is the great physician, isn't he? And so I'm thankful that Brother Inslee is doing well, and thankful to have him here tonight to bring the message. Brother Inslee and I share something a little unique, I guess. We have been each other's pastor. Brother, I was a member at Pleasant Valley when Brother Wright came and took pastorate of the church there. So I want to ask you tonight to pray for him as he stands before us to bring the message. I want to ask you to pray for his family. And Brother Wright made a request, openly made a request not long ago, that the Lord would grant him a work. And I want us to keep praying for that, that the Lord would use him in that way. But you, please give him your attention this evening as he stands before us, and pray for him as he preaches. Brother Inslee.
The Lord has been mighty good to me in so many ways, watching over me during my illness, bringing me through the operations. But he's been even better than that. He saved my soul. Called me into his ministry, and I've tried my best to stand at every opportunity I've had. And he's granted me to have a wonderful church home, a church family. And I thank God daily for that. This is a church that is loving, it's caring, and it takes care of its own. And I appreciate everything that this church has done for me. God cannot be praised enough. And we're not to put people on pedestals. But I do hold this church and its members up before God at every opportunity. And I thank you all so very much. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us tonight, we're going to be reading from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to begin reading down in verse 34. A little bit of background on this. There was a man by the name of Cornelius, who was a centurion in the Roman army, prayed to God daily, helped those in need. He was a good man. And some authorities say he may not have been saved at this time, at this particular instance. I think he was. And the reason I think he was is because he prayed to God, he feared God. And he did help those that were a lot less fortunate than him. That was not centurion like. Centurions were leaders in the Roman army, and they oppressed the Jews. They oppressed anybody under their rule. But he had compassion for them. But he knew he needed something else. And they were in the city of Caesarea, and he sent down to the city of Joppa and asked for Peter to come up there and do some preaching. And I don't think that a lost man without any knowledge of God, a man that had no fear of God, would have done this. But the Bible teaches us that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his heart, all of his house. So I do believe that Cornelius was saved, even though some says it happened just a little bit later on. And I'm not going to argue with them over it. I don't know. The only person I can tell you that's saved is me. There's a lot of people I believe is saved by their actions, by the things they do, and the way they try to worship God. And by his actions and the things that he did, I believe that he was saved. But as I said, I wasn't there. I can't look into his heart. I can't tell you when that man got saved. But anyway, Paul came to these people here because he had been asked to. Now, there was a law, Jewish law, that they were not to go unto other people. They were not to have anything to do with other nations. Of course, there was a lot of Jewish people broke that law. They took wives of different nations. They picked up gods of other nations, and they broke this law quite often. But Peter, after this event took place, he came under some, as we would say, light fire under it. The church at Jerusalem, the Jews, the Jewish Christians there, they questioned him about it and were not exactly happy about it in the beginning. But when we look into God's Word and we see the actions of Peter, he had a great deal of doings with the forming of that first church after Christ set it up, in the way that it done things, in the way that it carried on the commission that Christ gave it. And certainly he was a great influence on the Samaritan people after the church was first established there by Christ. And so Peter is opening up the groundwork for going unto the Gentiles. And of course we know that Paul made great inroads into that with all of his work that he did. So this man, Cornelius, sent for Peter, and Peter came down, and they met, and they talked. And Peter asked him, "Why did you want us to come down?" And Cornelius told him, "We need to hear the word." Basically is what he said. So in verse 34 of the 10th chapter of the book of Acts is where we'll begin our reading. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" And this is one reason Peter went ahead and went down there, because he didn't believe that the gospel was to be kept from anyone, because God had given him a vision and showed him things that were unclean to eat. But God told him, he said, the things that he had cleaned, don't worry about it. So anyway, Peter went down there to this place. And he says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. And to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So Cornelius wanted Peter to come down there and preach to these people and to him and to his household and other people. And so Peter went down there and began preaching, and he told them how that he had been with Jesus and how the things that he was preaching was the things that God had set on his heart, how the Holy Spirit had led him, and the things that Jesus himself had taught Peter himself. So the things that Peter was relating to these people were the things that he had learned by following the Holy Spirit. And tonight, if we could, I want to talk about following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in this world today, and it's leading our churches, it's leading our preachers, it's leading the men of God to preach the subjects that God lays on their heart. And it works out so much better when men of God do follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I know that in my ministry, one time I went down to a church and I tried to preach what Inslee wanted to preach. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't get nothing to fit together. I couldn't get nothing to sound right. I couldn't get anything myself out of it. And when I left that little church that night, I believe I could have walked out of that church without opening the door, I felt so low, because I had not followed the leadership of God. And it was nearly a year before I had enough nerve to call that pastor and apologize to him for what I had done. And the funny thing about it, God blessed his word that night, and they wanted me to come back and preach again because they thought it was a very good message. See, God can bless his word. God will bless his word. But he'll bless it better if we'll follow his Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, I found out right then and there that I can do nothing by myself. That I have to keep Inslee out of the way if there's anything accomplished. And there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can preach. There's nothing I can say that can change the hearts or minds of anyone at all. But if God is in it, if God is blessing his word, then everyone can have something good to say about the word of God. And that's what I want to try to do tonight. I want to say things that God wants me to say. I don't want to say the things that Inslee wants to say. I want to make God's word come out, and I want God's word to receive all the honor and glory that it rightfully deserves, because there's nothing else that really matters. You know, the things that we do, the things that we say on our own, it really doesn't matter too much. It's not going to have much change on the world. But if we use God's word and ask him to help us, then we can have an influence in people's lives. We can see lost people saved. We can see young Christians grow as they do the correct things, and they study God's Word, and they listen to the preaching of God's Word. And that's what these men wanted to do. This is what Cornelius wanted. He wanted to learn more about God's Word, and that's why he called someone that he had faith in, someone that he trusted, to come down and to preach to these people. And he done it by the leadership of God. Because when Peter got down there, him and Cornelius was talking, and back in verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance of the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. See, God works on both ends. When a church is without a pastor, the people get together and they need to be praying, and they need to be asking God, who do you want here? Not who's the best man for the job, but who do you want here? Who do I need? Who does the church need? And you know something? God's going to work on the other end too. Because God had worked on the other end with Simon Peter here, and angel had been to him, and he told him, he said, go with these men that are coming. Don't worry about it. Don't worry that they're Gentiles. Just go with them. And the Holy Spirit led on both ends. He led Joppa, or led Cornelius there at Caesarea to send someone to Joppa to have Peter come. And that's the way God has always worked. He's always done those kind of things. He has worked on both ends. Now sometimes men do like I did that time when I preached. They get somebody on their heart, and they'll get somebody that they want. They'll get someone that they may be able to control, or someone that'll preach the things that they want to hear. My friends, we need people that'll stand up, and regardless of what the congregation wants to hear, someone that'll stand and preach the truth. We need people that will say what God wants them to say, and we need men that'll go and to do the things as they're led. And I'm glad that Peter went down there and he began preaching to them. And in this 37th verse of our reading, he says, that word that I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And this is where Jesus began his ministry, was there in Galilee. And he started preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't waste time. He didn't go around and beat around on the bushes. He got serious with his first preachings. And he performed his first miracle there in Galilee. And the fame of Jesus went out from Galilee everywhere. And people had heard about the miracles that he performed and the things that he was preaching. And so many people, when he came into their area, they wanted to go see him. They wanted to go hear him because they'd heard of the miracles that he'd done, and they'd heard of the things that he had said. Not everybody believed him. Not everybody believes us today. But if we do what God wants us to do, and if we do it the way God wants us to, then we can serve God with a clear conscience. When we don't serve God with a clear conscience, then we need to be praying and asking God to help us. We need to be praying and asking God to get our hearts right and to get us in a position that we can serve Him properly. And it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, Jesus Himself was part of the Godhead. He didn't need the Holy Ghost for leadership. He Himself sent the Holy Ghost in His place. But it was ordained of God that He should be prompted with the Holy Ghost, that He should be empowered with the Holy Ghost to show the unity to mankind between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And there is a unity. What one thinks of, the others know about. What one does, the others approve. And the things that one says is carried on by the others. And it says here that we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And of course, Peter was one of the apostles, and Peter had firsthand witness. He was a firsthand witness to the miracles that Jesus performed and to the things that Jesus taught. And so he was able to relay unto these people those things which Jesus had done. He was able to relay unto them the things that the Holy Spirit led unto him and he brought back to his remembrance. You know, there's a lot of times when, especially as we get a little bit older, we know things, but we sort of forget them, and then all of a sudden God will jog our memory. Oh yeah, that's what God said here. Or that's what God taught there. That's what the Bible says. We hear things, we remember them, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God jogs our memories from time to time and makes us realize that there are things that we need to say. And maybe we hadn't thought about them for a little while. But he says we were witnesses of all things which he did. So Peter had firsthand knowledge. He was a good witness for Jesus Christ because he had been with him. And it says down in verse 42, it says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. See, Jesus Christ knows who's saved and who's lost. And those that are saved are the ones that are referred to as being quick here. And those that are lost are the ones that are being referred to as being dead here. They're dead in sins. But they don't have to stay that way. They can come to Jesus Christ, and he will quicken them. He will save them if they'll listen. And to him gave all the prophets witnesses, and through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And the Bible teaches where the remission of sin is, there is no more sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross one time, paid our sin debt one time, saved our souls one time, and that's all it takes, my friend. That's all it takes. And these are the things, some of the things that Peter preached there. And I want to go back just for a few minutes, and will not take much longer, but in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, there in verse 5, when Jesus took those 12 disciples whom he had called out, and in verse 5 he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or in any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go ye rather to the lost house, or to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And that teaches us here that we need to start our services, to start reaching people in our community. And then as we go along, then spread out. We need to first take care of our own and then move out and help others. And I think that's the way the church has always done. I know that's what the commission tells us to do. Go ye into all nations. But we got to start here at home. We can't just send people out that doesn't know anything. We got to train people. We have to teach them the Word of God. And when God calls them to preach, those are the ones that we need to send out. That's the way this church has worked. It's the way it worked with me. This church, when the Lord called me to preach, they taught me things. This church helped me to learn, but they gave me the authority to go out and to preach. And then when a church finally called me to pastor, then this church ordained me. They didn't do it backwards. They didn't ordain me and send me out. They gave me learning. They taught me. Brother Moran was very good in that aspect. And the other preachers that I've heard, they taught me about God's Word. They taught me the things I needed to know. They taught me how to conduct myself. And then they sent me out. And you know, as it was there with Cornelius and Peter, the Holy Spirit was leading Cornelius to call Peter down there, and the Holy Spirit was working on Peter to go down there. And that's the way it was with my first church. When Liberty called me, the Holy Spirit was working on their end. And in the beginning, I didn't want to go because I didn't feel the leadership of the Lord. But then the Lord told me, He said, that's what I've called you to do. That's where you need to go. And when we went up there, I gave them the greatest compliment I ever could to a church. I said, I feel like you're just a small Fairview Memorial. And I mean that with all of my heart. And I have the greatest respect and the greatest love for that little church even today. It's very close to me, and I feel very close to it. But the thing about it, we went because it was the leadership of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that called us up there. And that's what Jesus was doing here. He was telling them where to go. He didn't tell them to go everywhere. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Begin here. And then later on over in the book of Luke, there in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, he sent out 70. And he told those 70 there in verse 1, he said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 and sent them two and two before the face to every city and place whether he himself would come. He didn't say, go here only. He said, everywhere that I'm going, because Jesus knew that his journey would lead him to the cross. And he wanted everybody between where he was at and the route he was taking and where he was going till he got to the cross. He wanted them to hear the power of God's word. And so he sent these 70 out, and therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We need to be meek. We need to be strong as well as being meek. And we need to be able to stand for the truth and to tell what God's word tells us. Because we are going to see wolves out there in the world. We're going to see wolves when we stand for the truth. We're going to see the reaction of the world. And the reaction of the world is not according to God's word. The world is at enmity with God. The Bible teaches us that man is at enmity with God. And we're against God in our flesh and in our thinking. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. It takes salvation from Jesus Christ to change us so that we can serve a true and living God. And these 70, when they came back, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't worry about all these things that you can do, all these powers that you have, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that's the thing that we need to rejoice about. And I believe that's why Cornelius wanted to have Peter come down there so that he might hear the truth, that he might be fully in the knowledge that he was saved. And I believe that those that were not saved, some of them did get saved because they were baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit after Peter preached unto these people. I've got one more thing I want to say here, and then I'm going to close. As I mentioned a minute ago, that we're trying to do things as the Lord commanded the church. And I want to just briefly read the commission to the church, and it said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, if we start out here and we listen to God, and when men are called of God, if we teach them God's word, and they will study and they will learn God's word and listen to what God will teach them, then they can go to all nations of the world. And when we see our missionaries that go out from time to time, and it thrills my heart to see missionaries go into new places. When I remember, it wasn't too terrible long after the Lord called me to preach, that Brother Jones went to Jamaica. And during that time that he's been down there, there's been great works done because he followed the will of God. We've had missionaries go into other places. And Brother Jonathan Hunton, he's went down to Guatemala, and he's doing a good work down there because he's following the leadership of the Lord. And if we all follow the leadership of the Lord, we're going to have a good revival this year. We're going to see people saved. But we've got to follow the leadership of the Lord. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to go ask somebody to come, He's working on the other end too. God is convicting them that they need to come. So if God lays it on your heart to go talk to somebody, please follow the leadership of the Lord. Follow what God lays on your heart, and we will have a great and wonderful revival this year. Brother Miller is a fine preacher. Brother Buddy is a fine preacher. But as has already been said, their pockets are not filled with revival. It comes through the church. And when the church gets revived, true revival will break out. Let's follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let's do what God wants us to do. And everything will work out for the best. That's our little message for tonight. Thank you. Brother Miller, I'll turn it back over to you.
An exhortation. Brother Ronnie, if you would get a song ready for us, and I want to invite you to come and shake hands with Brother Wright and